This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Junks. We're going to head out to the Rude guest hotline right now. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We say good morning to Warren Sharp. NFL analytics, betting insights, fantasy football analysis. Get it all at sharpfootballanalysis.com. What's up, Warren? Thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate the time.
Hey, of course. Good morning, gents.
So we were a little surprised yesterday when we saw the news that broke during our show that George Pickens was on the move from Pittsburgh to Dallas. And I scratched my head a little bit. I didn't obviously do the deep dive in the numbers that you do, but he's kind of a mercurial guy. He's immature. Like, if Mike Tomlin can't control him, how will Brian Schottenheimer do that in Dallas? But I'm on Sharp Football, and you have some pretty intriguing stats about how he could fit in well with Dak, that Dak in the last 2 years has the number one most passing yards on 15-plus yard go routes and number two most attempts on 15-plus yard go routes. Pickens the last 2 years matches up exactly. He has the most receiving yards on 15-plus yard go routes, and the most catches on 15-yard go routes. So, like, I'm sure that Dallas has done their homework on Pickens, and it seems like a good fit with Dak.
It does. Look, the biggest question here is not will George Pickens, when he's on the field, have opportunities to perform and raise the ceiling of the Dallas Cowboys offense, because that's a pretty known commodity. That's a slam dunk, in my opinion. I think he does pair up well with Dak. Dak has not had those deeper outside threats for a while. They basically were trying to turn like Michael Gallup into that role. And George Pickens is obviously, I mean, we've all watched football, much better suited for that role than was a guy like Michael Gallup. We're going to see CeeDee Lamb then slide a little bit more into the slot, where he's going up against a weaker cornerback, generally speaking, and he can do more things from a route perspective when he's running routes from the slot. He can break more directions. He has more opportunities to get on the same page with Dak Prescott there. So I think it actually opens up this Cowboys offense a lot more. We know that in Pittsburgh, Arthur Smith was not throwing the football nearly as much as what Dallas is going to do last year. Dallas was throwing it way more last year with all these backup quarterbacks that they were rolling out than were the Pittsburgh Steelers with their quarterbacks. Not that the Steelers quarterbacks were great, but Arthur Smith just coaches a more run-based offense. So you read the stats. He is going to pair up well on the deeper passes. He is one of the best contested catch guys that we have in the NFL. And if Dallas, you know, they decided in the draft to build a little bit more through that offensive line to go back to their older school roots of having, of trying to develop one of the better offensive lines, I don't necessarily love their running back core, and I think Javonte Williams is going to be terrible for them. But if they're going to be able to utilize some play action and set up some of these deeper shots to George Pickens and then free up CeeDee Lamb, it's going to have a lot of success. The biggest question, or the thing that we have to wonder, is, you know, Pittsburgh has historically been so good at knowing when to walk away from guys, whether it's Antonio Brown, Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, Juju Smith-Schuster. They moved on from these guys at the perfect time, at the perfect moment. None of them ever produced again. It seems unlikely that George Pickens is going to fit into that same mold, but he certainly is going to be much more difficult for Brian Schottenheimer to manage than pretty much any other player on that Cowboys roster, I would imagine.
Yeah, I would agree with you on Dallas's running game. We kind of talked about it yesterday. They drafted two running backs. They drafted Jaden Blue out of Texas, Phil Mauffe out of Clemson, added some free agents, like you said. So they have four new running backs on the roster, but I just think Pickens adds a lot. I looked at their win total. I made a bet with the guy across the table from me, my co-host here. I said if Dak plays 15 games, they make the playoffs. Their win total right now on FanDuel is 7.5. Don't you love if Dak plays a healthy free or an injury free season? Don't you love over 7.5 wins? I do.
Yeah, it's hard not to like that if you're looking at their schedule and some of the things that broke poorly against them last year. They were -6. First of all, we know Dak was injured, right? So if you're assuming Dak's going to be healthy, you can't go into a season assuming your starting number one quarterback is going to be injured. So everybody has to assume that that guy is going to be out there for them. They were -6 in turnover differential last year. That was 23rd in the NFL. They lost 39 expected points just from turnovers. That was 27th in the NFL. They lost 14 fumbles last year, which was the most of any team. They were -5 in fumble loss differential, which was 26th. Opponents made 94% of field goals against the Cowboys last year. That was the third highest. And they went -0.31 EPA per play in field goal range on third downs. And so what ends up happening, this is why you were seeing their field goal kicker bang so many deep field goals. And of course, he's amazing. But the issue is, because they were the second worst team on those third downs, they had to attempt a lot more of those field goals. If they regress more to the mean where Dallas's offense should be with Dak, they're going to be converting on those third downs, which is going to give them more opportunities to score touchdowns and not settle for field goals. All of those things combined last year that I just mentioned, in addition to the fourth toughest overall schedule, and they still won 7 games.
Right.
So
I mean, they won 7 games. Cooper Rush played half the year.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So you're saying the win total is a half a point higher.
Yes.
Their strength of schedule is easier this upcoming season. Division-wise, it's easier. It's one of the easiest division, based on the position that Dallas finished last year in third place, that they've had for a little while. So I can't argue with you at all there. I think that this team definitely has a higher ceiling, even though their expectation within the division right now is that they'll finish in third place. It's still not one of the other teams you would consider third place in many other divisions.
Talking to Warren Sharp, NFL analytics guy, betting insights, fantasy football. You can go to sharpfootballanalysis.com. I saw you writing about Brock Purdy. So if you're the 49ers, what would you do?
It's difficult because these quarterback, like Brock Purdy, if I'm the 49ers, knowing what Brock Purdy actually did for John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, I do have to pay him. And the reason I say that, and I'm not running out and like clapping my hands after we signed the deal and, smoking a cigar, but it's one of those things, in my opinion, that Brock Purdy does have some faults. And obviously from a prototypical quarterback, there's a reason why he was Mr. Irrelevant. He does not offer or deliver you that prototype quarterback size, weight, hand size, all the things that you would be looking for when you're scouting a guy. That being said, he understands what Kyle Shanahan is looking for offensively, and he understands how to execute it. And the shock that he delivered, the surprise that we got out of Purdy when he came in and was inserted and actually was winning all of these games, that's what they'll need from him moving on. The 49ers right now have the number one easiest schedule in the NFL this upcoming season. This division right now is getting better. It is improving. The Rams are going to be the Rams as long as Matthew Stafford is there. He, like what Kyle Shanahan's looking for, Matthew Stafford understands what Sean McVay wants out of that offense. I think the Arizona Cardinals, they're certainly trying to improve their defense. I think they're always going to be limited by Kyler Murray. And then the Seattle Seahawks are in a period of transition here. Obviously, they're getting rid of Geno Smith. They're moving in a different direction with Sam Darnold. And I'm not sure what exactly we're going to get out of Sam Darnold there. I certainly don't expect what he delivered in Minnesota in the dome with all that comfort that he had there and all those close wins. But I think this division isn't an easy division. The NFC West is a challenging division. I certainly wouldn't love paying him, but I feel like he has done enough to date to get that payment. But it's not a position, fellas, that I'm going to share with you with any high level of conviction, in my opinion.
Warren, you put up a list at Sharp Football a couple days ago about the most clutch quarterbacks in the last 5 minutes of games. Now, it was a minimum of 85 dropbacks. So this guy did not qualify. But why don't you tell the listeners where Jaden Daniels would be on that list if he had the proper number of dropbacks?
Yeah, I don't think people realize, and this I want to get this next stat out as well about the fourth downs, but Jaden Daniels only had 48 attempts when trailing in the final 5 minutes of games. But if we utilize 40-plus attempts for quarterbacks, he would rank as the number one clutch quarterback out of 70 qualifying quarterbacks over the last 5 years. And he didn't just rank number one in expected points added, which is the metric I'm going for here. He would rank number one in yards per attempt at 8.9. His completion rate on those 48 attempts was 75%. That was also number one. And he delivered a 57% success rate. He absolutely has that clutch gene. And there's something about him, and there's something about this virtual reality that he studies. But this is a quarterback that certainly everybody in D.C. should feel great about from an aspiration perspective and what he can deliver for this franchise. The one red flag I will throw out there for the Commanders that mm-hmm. we got to get across here is their fourth down conversion rate last season. It's not everybody sees Dan Quinn as being this aggressive quarterback, and yes, he is. But he actually went for it fewer times last year than he did in 2023 or that the team did in 2022 or 2021. The Commanders converted 87% of their fourth downs last year, 20 of 23. That didn't just rank as way better than any Commanders offense in years past. That was the best in the NFL since at least 2000, which is where I ran my numbers back to. Mm-hmm. Some other crazy stats about this. They ran the ball on 15 top plays. They converted it 13 times. No other team came close to that conversion rate on the ground, and they did not quarterback sneak it one time. Quarterback sneaks are like the cheat code, whether it's a tush push or whether it's a standard quarterback sneak. Last year, 90% of quarterback sneaks were converted into first down. The next closest run play was down at 70%. That was inside zone run. They were the Washington Commanders were doing what they did without a single quarterback sneak. Jaden Daniels, when he passed the ball on fourth down, he converted 7 of 8 pass attempts. That was 88% conversion rate, the best in the NFL for a quarterback since 2007. The only two quarterbacks that were better than him since 2000 were Peyton Manning in 2002 and Kurt Warner in 2007, both of which are in the Hall of Fame. And one last number here to throw this in perspective. The Commanders gained 55 expected points added on those 23 fourth down plays. That is not only the best in modern NFL history, if you compare it to all other offenses on 100% of their plays last year, like every single play that the Kansas City Chiefs had on offense last year, the Commanders' 23 fourth down attempts gained more expected points than the Kansas City Chiefs' entire offense did last season. So this was a ridiculous run.
Are you saying that – I have two questions, but you're triggering one. Are you saying then that obviously it's unprecedented, basically, and unsustainable, or they should be going for it more on fourth down?
I would not argue with you that they should be and could be going for it more on fourth down. That being said, I think these numbers and where they rank historically are unsustainable.
Right.
Unless the cheat code is Jaden Daniels himself. Like, unless this virtual reality, and they're figuring it out, and he is the cheat code, because otherwise it's a type of play. It's the quarterback sneak. It's something like the tush push that's repeatable. You can say, okay, we know this is going to hit at this rate. We should keep going for it. But they're running inside zone, and they're running read option, and Jaden Daniels is dropping back to pass it, and they're converting at rates that should not be continuously converted at, which is why I unfortunately think that is ultimately going to regress. Now, that's not saying that the Commanders' offense in general is going to regress, because they could improve in some other parts of the field. They could improve more on those third downs inside a field goal range,
right,
so they don't have to go for it on as many fourth downs.
So all that being said, it kind of leads up to my next question. My buddy, who's a big NFL guy, who isn't a big NFL guy at this point, he keeps warning me and even my kids. He's like taunting my kids, and he keeps saying, you know that, are you ready for Jaden's inevitable regression,
sophomore slump,
you know, in year two? Like, it's like obviously it's going to happen. He's not going to, you know, NFL team. He's not just saying it because of the so-called sophomore slump, but that, you know, teams, they study you, they analyze you, and they're going to take away what you do well. And, you know, he's like, it's almost like guaranteed he's going to have a regression, kind of taunting us. What is sort of your take on that?
Well, I don't like him taunting your kids. That's inappropriate, I think. Yeah. But in general, I think the Washington Commanders probably are going to struggle a little bit more offensively than they did last year. Most quarterbacks, though, I will say this as it relates to sophomore slump. Most quarterbacks in year two make a sophomore jump, not a slump. If they're decent quarterbacks, they actually improve in year two. Yes, you're right. Defenses get more film on them, but it's an opportunity to settle down a little bit more offensively and get more comfortable. Mm-hmm. The great thing is they kept Cliff Kingsbury. And if I were the Commanders, I would be planning ahead to a team that, you know, exceeds their win total of 9.5 games or so, 9 to 10 games, gets into the playoffs again this year. I would already be readying an offer for Cliff Kingsbury to try to figure out a way to keep him for year three if things go the way that we think that they will with the Commanders. I do expect, obviously, that some of these fourth down numbers are going to regress a little bit. But there is room for improvement. The issue is that they face the number two toughest year-over-year increase in schedule difficulty. They're going from playing the NFC South last year, as well as the Arizona Cardinals and the Tennessee Titans, who we know the Titans had the first overall pick, to the AFC West, which is, you know, the Chiefs and the improving Chargers and the improving Broncos and even the improving Raiders, you could say, with a new coaching staff and new quarterback in Geno Smith this year. And then the NFC North, which was the best division in football last year from a total wins accumulated perspective. So it's not going to be easy for the Commanders this upcoming season, but the way that Jaden Daniels seems to have his head screwed on, he's viewing all of this in the best positive light as a challenge, as something to prove to people, as not something that he's going to fear. And I'm just excited to see what this kid can do in year two. And I think more teams around the league need to study this VR technology that he's utilizing, because he's clearly a step ahead of where everybody thought he was going to be. The biggest thing for him is, how do we keep him healthy for as long as we need to keep him healthy here? You talked about Dak needing to stay healthy. You never plan for a quarterback like Jaden Daniels to get injured, but I will be perfectly honest, from a betting perspective, last year when we were looking at season-long props, we wanted to bet Jaden Daniels rushing yards for the season over the total, and it smashed that number. But the only issue was, we feared his style of running would put him up on the injured list, and we weren't willing to take that risk. He ended up getting injured, but recovering and not really missing much time. So what we decided to do instead is just bet his rushing yards over on a game-by-game basis and win those units that way, as opposed to betting it on the whole season. But that is a fear for him, is just the way that he runs, the frequency of his running, and the style of his running.
Warren, thanks so much for the time, man. We always appreciate it. Always great intel and skinny. We'll have you on again soon. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, bro.
You can go to sharpfootballanalysis.com for more information, and at sharpfootball on Twitter. We'll do EB's entertainment page next. And also, a quick programming note. When you hear Ben play Metallica before the show is over, you be the 10th caller at 800-636-1067, and you're going to score a pair of tickets to see Metallica at Northwest Stadium. So when you hear a Metallica tune on this show before the show is over, you can call and win those tickets. We'll be right back.